This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. ITT Tech Education Services announced that it was shutting its doors across the country. 40,000 students, no longer students, 8,000 employees now without jobs. The shutdown came after the federal government banned the for-profit college from enrolling new students who rely on federal financial aid, and that required them to put up $247 million in case the school went out of business. When ITT Tech announced it was closing, it blamed these government actions. This is the second for-profit college to go out of business. In April 2015, Corinthian College also closed, and in May 2015, it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So what happened to ITT Tech? Who's to blame for the closing? What can students do about their student loans? Can the government just wipe them out? If you're a former student or teacher or a call center operator from ITT Tech or another for-profit college, we want to hear from you. Call in, tell us your story. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. We're joined this half hour by Richard Vetter. He's an economist and the director of the Center for College Affordability and Productivity. He's written several books, including Going Broke by Degree, Why College Cost Too Much. And also with us is David Halperin. He writes about higher education for Republic Report. He is a former vice president for the Center for American Progress. And welcome back to The Source, both of you, Richard and David.
Thank you, David.
Glad to be with you.
So, Richard Vetter, what's your reaction to the closing of ITT Tech?
Well, I was sorry to hear it. The for-profit industry has bad apples. It has abusive practices. It has high dropout rates. But the same thing can be said for the mainstream higher education, the not-for-profit public sector. On the news report, it was reported the president of UTSA is retiring. What is the four-year graduation rate at UTSA? It's 9%. That's not very high. The Texas Southern six-year graduation rate, 12%. The point I'm making here is that there's a lot of schools in higher education who are underperforming by most standards by most ways of looking at them. And the government has been picking on the for-profit sector specifically and almost exclusively, and I think this is certainly unfair. It doesn't create a level playing field, and it certainly, of course, disadvantages tens of thousands of students. In this case, several hundred million dollars of student loans are in play here. We're talking about something fairly substantial. So, this is a pretty big deal.
David Halperin, what was your reaction when you heard ITT Tech is closing down? And feel free to respond to some of the points that Mr. Vetter made.
My reaction was good riddance, and I simply cannot understand what Professor Vetter is talking about. ITT Tech was a very bad actor that was abusing students and taxpayers. There are some good teachers there, but many bad ones. Many students ended up much worse off than when they started. The fact that there may be problems with other schools in higher ed and other schools that are not for-profits is not an argument, and there's no reason to be sad if ITT is a bad actor that ITT went out of business. The concern would be for the students and their future. But this school was lying to students, misrepresenting everything from accreditation to job placement to what the financial aid status of the students were. It was lying to the government. It was defrauding investors. And the fact that, as Professor Vetter says, well, other, houses were on fire in the neighborhood is not an argument for the fire department not to put out a massive building fire right in front of their faces. And the Department of Education did the right thing by cutting off federal aid. The school was getting 90% of its money from taxpayers, and it shouldn't have been getting any money from taxpayers.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. If you've got a comment, particularly if you're a student at ITT Tech, we want to hear from you, and we'll talk about your options. But John is on the line, and John, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and I think it's so ironic that it's the Department of Education that shut down ITT Tech, because it was the change in regulations back in the 90s and the late 80s that allowed for their rise. The idiot idea that the market didn't want educated workforce. They wanted workers who could gain an education while they were working. And that empowered some of the credentialing for places like ITT Tech to allow people to get these types of degrees. And at the same time, it destroyed a lot of the smaller private colleges that were traditionally women's colleges for nursing or teaching or typing that had evolved, and most of them disappeared and were sucked into the larger university systems or ceased to exist entirely. And now at a point where we desperately need them back, they're gone because of what the Department of Education allowed to have happen.
Okay, John, those are pretty interesting points. Thanks for calling in with that info. Let me get your reaction to this, Richard Vedder. Was the Department of Education to blame, as John points out?
Well, I think the Department of Education is to blame for a lot of the problems, not only facing the for-profit industry and what's happened to it, good or bad, but they have been very erratic overall. American higher education before 1980, which is when the Department of Education really got going, was a pretty viable, pretty solid entity, growing, getting bigger, getting more prosperous. It was indeed the golden era of higher ed. Since 1980, which is the period since the Department of Education existed, higher ed has faced increasing challenges, some of which the caller mentioned. So I do think the Department of Education's role in this is far from exemplary, and I think some attention should be called to how the Department of Education functions in American higher ed. Do we really need it? And if we do, is it doing a good job of regulation?
David Halperin.
What I think we need, we've had since 1965, is student aid, so that whether or where you can go to college isn't entirely dependent on how rich your parents are. So there should be aid, and there should be programs to help people, especially low-income people trying to change their lives, or returning veterans, single parents, immigrants, help them to have a chance to have the same kind of educational opportunity as wealthier people do. The problem is that once you have this program where billions and billions of taxpayer dollars are going out, crooks arrive. Some of these crooks are strip mall crooks. Some of them are Wall Street crooks. But what they've done is try to take as much money as they can by spending as little as they can on education and charging sky-high prices. And what they've also done when they got caught engaging in bad behavior was to hire the most expensive lobbyists and law firms that they can to make sure, and buying politicians, too, to try to make sure that there aren't rules to hold them accountable. And that's what's gone wrong. The Department of Education has behaved badly when it's been pressured. When a Senator Marco Rubio calls the department and says, go easy on this college that's helping me, that college was Corinthian Colleges. When you have Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, saying ITT is a wonderful school, don't put pressure on it.
All right, David, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after 1 minute. Our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. This is The Source. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. Another for-profit college says it can't operate with increasing scrutiny from the federal government and restrictions on government student financing. So ITT Tech is out. But what about the students who've invested so much of their time and money into the education programs, thinking that they were going to give themselves a better life? Did they get their money's worth? And what about the taxpayers who are now on the hook? Call in if you were at ITT Tech, a student, a teacher, a call center guy, give us a call, 210-614-8980. And Renee is on the line. And Renee, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with Richard Vedder. He wrote the book Going Broke by Degree, Why College Costs So Much, and also with David Halperin, and he writes about higher education for Republic Report. So, Renee, go ahead.
As a taxpayer, thank you. I see, isn't there an issue here of predatory acts by heavy lobbying where they turn a department that has functioned in such a way, our education department, and politicized it in such a way where then you have more of a special interest basically going in there and cannibalizing and looking for funding and really stripping something down that worked right. But I put my finger on our elected officials for doing that. And I'm just wondering, I mean, isn't that exactly what's going on? Is it that why this is happening too, now that we do have some regulation coming back and saying, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't work. This actually hurts our taxpayers and our students.
Okay, Renee, thank you for calling in with that. And David Halpern, your reaction?
Well, Washington has been corrupted by this industry that was getting as much as $30 billion a year, many bad actors. And the Department of Education, one place I'll agree with Professor Vetter, other sectors of higher education, too, are very powerful lobbyists. And the department has treated, you know, their constituency as the schools rather than the students often. I give this Department of Education, especially in the last couple of years, credit for saying there are terrible schools that are taking $1 billion a year and offering poor education, putting students in debt, and ripping off taxpayers. And the department is starting to stand up to these schools and stop treating them as too big to fail and thinking about that it's better to find a transition for the current students, let the school go down, but stop the bleeding. Stop signing up. While we're on this segment of the show, more students are signing up for terrible predatory college programs that will ruin their lives, and that's what needs to stop.
Richard Vetter, I mean, don't these for-profit colleges, I mean, you say they're not all bad actors, so what are the stories of the ones who are successful and who are providing a great service?
Well, you know, I don't want to name names and all on a public, you know, because there are, a lot of these schools have many, many programs, and there are many campuses. They have online as well as on-campus programs. And at any university, and I, by the way, I've been in my 52nd year of teaching at a state university myself, there are good professors, there are bad professors, there are good programs, there are bad programs. But there are students that go to some of the big actors, let's say the University of Phoenix, for example, is the largest single provider at the among for-profits. Kaplan Higher Ed has been big over the years, and so on. And some of these people have, and I've talked to students who've graduated from them, have had successful experiences from them. Many of them are part-time people who are working for adults who are working while going to school part-time, and they're trying to improve their educational credentials to get a promotion or advancement in their job. Some of them succeed, some of them don't. And by the way, I would agree with David that we put perhaps too much emphasis on schools and not on individuals, and that the lobbyists, as the caller suggested, the lobbyists do play a role and probably a disproportionately a powerful role, but they do so at all higher ed. They do so in the public schools as well as the privates. And I do think it's a scandal that only 12% of the kids that go to Texas Southern University graduate within 6 years. I think that's a scandal. I think they've been misled. I think they've been hurt, as well as students in some cases who've gone to IT and to many other schools. We have a bigger, broader problem, and the Department of Education needs to concentrate on that broader problem, not just the for-profit sector.
So, Richard Vetter, if you're an employer, you're a boss, and you're looking, you have a job opening, you're hiring people, you see their resumes. One guy says he graduated from ITT Tech. Another guy says he graduated from the University of Ohio. Which one are you going to hire?
You need to know more than the school.
Well,
Just on that information alone, I would go with the Ohio student, probably, because it probably marginally has a better academic reputation, although it would depend on the field. One thing that ITT and many of these for-profits do, they reach out to niche markets. They reach out to people, in some cases, are not getting traditional bachelor's degrees. In some cases, they're getting degrees. Many of these for-profits are career colleges. They're training people to be welders and drive 18-wheel trucks and do kinds of jobs that we need and in some cases are in short supply where the pay is pretty good and they're only 1 or 2 year programs.
Right. So let me get a reaction from David Halpern about that. So we need welders, we need people who are plumbers and who can drive trucks.
I'm all in favor of that, and there have traditionally been good programs. Much of it was corrupted in the last 15 years, especially when the Bush administration let the regulations relax and let people primarily train online, let the recruiters get paid basically a sales commission. Basically, then these schools converted from places that genuinely were focused on helping people train for careers to just signing people up, basically a call center with a school attached to it. And I've talked with people who work at these call centers. Many people are let in by bait-and-switch websites that promise what people really want, which is jobs. They say, we have jobs. When you click on it, they ask you for information. Then they call you. And if you call and say, I live in Atlanta, and I'd like to be a welder, they say, well, we don't have that program to sell, but we have a business administration program online where you can learn to start your own welding business. And they will call you 10, 15 times a day until you sign up. And I've spent plenty of time now with people on the both ends of those calls, the recruiters who feel horrible about what they did, and with the students who signed up after relentless pressure and shaming and saying you're a loser and you'll never amount to anything. These are sophisticated marketing machines meant to separate people from their money, similar to Trump University, which was also a for-profit college or unaccredited one. And these students are no match for this kind of sophistication. It tells them that they'll never be anything unless they do this. And that's what these things have ultimately become, and that's what the real tragedy this is, and that's why I don't shed a single tear for ITT or its management.
But the students, I mean, there are probably some students that went through these programs, did learn what they had to learn. They know C++ and programming and coding and are able to run with that. But now they've got ITT Tech on their resume. Is that automatically a black mark on their resume, David Halpern?
It's not necessarily, and I know people who've succeeded graduating from many for-profit colleges, but one of the first people I met two people from ITT. One was a financial aid administrator who was being told to falsify forms and was fired when she wouldn't do it. The other was a Navy vet who signed up for, IT programs, information technology programs at ITT Tech, and he said the software was pirated, the textbooks were old, the instructors didn't pay attention. He wrote in his exam, I don't think anyone is actually reading this. Is anyone reading this? Never received any feedback. You've got part-time instructors asleep at the switch. You do have some good instructors, too, and I don't want to defame everybody involved in this, but there's just a lot of sort of lost, quality. Some of these schools were good, were taken over by private equity in Wall Street, and all they cared about was what they call starts or asses in classes. That's what they referred to. All they want to do is sign up students, and they didn't care if they graduated. The University of Phoenix, the number one company in this field, $4 billion a year of taxpayer money at its peak. Its graduation rate for first-time full-time students in its online division, 4%. 4% of the students who signed up for that program, first-time full-time students, graduated. That's what this has come to.
Richard Vedder, they're talking about, the government's talking about waiving the student loans because the students were defrauded by ITT Tech. What do you think about that?
Well, I have mixed feelings. I feel sorry for these students. These students are caught in a battle between a company and the government. The government has put ITT out of business in the name of improving higher ed, but in effect, the collateral damage falls on 40,000 students, and we should show some compassion for them. On the other hand, if we just simply forgive loans to anyone who borrows money in the federal student loan program, and that is advocated by some, that becomes a very serious problem, because people in the future will start borrowing willy-nilly of money from the federal government and will say, I don't have to worry much about paying it back. It'll ultimately be forgiven. The student loan program, as David said, is at the root of this problem. It was the cause of the growth in the for-profit industry. He said it. I agree with him. He's 100% right.
Okay, well, let me get his reaction to the same point here about should the government forgive those student loans?
Yes. The answer is yes, because these schools were a fraud. And the reason that I support it most of all and support new regulations that the Department of Education is on the verge of issuing that says if the school is a fraud, the students should presumptively get their money back, is because it would put a brake on the Department of Education. The Department of Education has been too lax about saying this is a school where you can get federal aid. It basically gives a good housekeeping seal to the students about the school. If the department knows that when a school is a fraud, they're going to have to forgive the federal student loans and it's going to cost a lot of money, the department's going to think harder about whether it should continue to send money to places like ITT, Kaplan, EDMC schools. And so it's primarily a check on the department. I think students know, I don't believe for a second, as the for-profit college industry is arguing now, that students are going to try to game the system, give all their time and money in the hope that their school will be deemed a fraud and they'll get back their student loans. They'll still have to pay back their private loans. They'll never get their Pell Grants and their GI Bill back. So there's no students going to game this. The people who've been gaming the system and scamming are not students, they're for-profit colleges.
And David, how do students take advantage of this loan forgiveness program?
The Department of Education has posted on its website, if you go there, you'll see a place that talks about information for ITT students that will show you your options, including, you know, that you may transfer to another school, but unfortunately a lot of schools won't take the ITT credits except other predatory for-profit colleges. You can have your loan forgiven if you're a current student or in school in the last 120 days. You can go for one of these discharges on the basis you're defrauded. For once, the department, I think, or, you know, finally, the department is stepping up and offering accurate and useful information for students about this, realizing these students are in a difficult place and they want to help them. But what they shouldn't do is say, because we're worried about these transitional 35,000 students, we're going to send in perpetuity money to a bad school like ITT Tech.
All right. I want to thank both of our guests. We're talking about the closing of ITT Tech. The news came down yesterday that they were not going to be able to continue. And we've got 40,000 students, no longer students, 8,000 employees now without jobs. And our guests were Richard Vedder, an economist and a director of the Center for College Affordability and Productivity. He's written many books. One of them is called Going Broke by Degree, Why College Costs Too Much. And also with us is David Halperin. He writes about higher education for the Republic Report, former vice president of the Center for American Progress. And when we come back from the NPR news break, we're talking about starting an urban farm and what are the benefits. This is The Source. Stay tuned.